May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder how many of you are like me in that I really enjoy a good science fiction tale. And for years, our family has been a fan of Star Trek, particularly the Voyager series, and the new Doctor Who, the BBC series. And some of my favorite episodes are the ones that really make you think, really make you use your brain, and because they offer interesting ethical dilemmas of space-time continuum, when the space-time continuum is altered. So I enjoy that kind of brain activity that you have to do to try to figure out this time travel. If time travel were possible, and a lot of these episodes, they go back and forth with time travel and showing all the conundrums and the paradoxes and all of that. And several of the events of the episodes show how a single small event in the past can have world-shaking consequences in the future. Well, we are in the season of Advent, beginning today. And in Advent, we are asked to do a sort of a time travel in our minds as well. Advent is a season of longing and waiting for Christ. And the apocalyptic writings that we heard from Luke's gospel this morning sound quite a lot like a science fiction movie in all their strangeness and terror. There's a lot of apocalyptic literature in Scripture, and we get a lot of it in Advent. And it's hard for us to deal with. You probably know or have heard about or maybe have read or seen an entire series of books over the past maybe 10 years that were written with a literal interpretation of the Second Coming of Christ, the Left Behind series. They made lots of books and a movie, at least one movie. I have not read any of them or seen any of the movies, so to be fair, I have to say that. But I have read a lot of commentary on them, and I think I know the theology behind it. And it's a literalist interpretation of Scripture, very narrow literalist interpretation, including what has become known as the rapture. And the problem, I think, with this theology is it concentrates on the division between those who are saved in this very narrow definition of what that means and those who are not. And they try to capitalize on the fear of being left behind by God. Now, there are lots of ways that we can look at this apocalyptic literature and not in the way that the Left Behind series does. And I have to admit that I have an ambivalent relationship with this body of Scripture, with the apocalyptic literature, mostly because of the way that it's used in popular culture by some people who take it literally. Often used to exclude and frighten people. And I certainly don't want anyone who has the power to fire nuclear missiles using that kind of theology to justify destroying our earth. God loves this earth. I love this creation with all of its brokenness. And God does too. We have the incarnation. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I have to admit, I'm in no hurry for this created world to end. But In Advent, we are called to look forward as well to the second coming of Christ, whatever that will be, however that will be, and whenever that will be. That is a mystery to us. But I believe that however this comes, the second coming of Christ will be a time of great joy and the fulfillment of all of our greatest hopes. Advent, as I said, asks us to play with the space-time continuum, a little bit like a good science fiction story. It is somewhat otherworldly. And in Advent, we rejoice, but we rejoice in a minor key. The season of Advent is the most complex, I think, of all our liturgical seasons, and it's also the shortest, 4 Sundays. And completely countercultural and an antidote to our culture of instant gratification. Advent gives us time to wait on God, and it resists our culture's headlong, mindless rush into a materialistic and secularized Christmas, symbolized by Gray Thursday, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas trees set up before Thanksgiving. Our tradition gives us this wonderful space in Advent that's stark and spare. Up until Christmas Eve itself, we do not go into the Christmas carols and the Christmas liturgies. In Advent, there is a confusion of endings and beginnings. That's why it reminds me of the space-time continuum. Because in Advent, we wait for the birth of Christ, which has already happened. And at the same time, we wait for Christ to come to us again, which will mark the end of this in-between time in which we live. In Advent, we wait in this in-between time for the end of our time and the beginning of God's new time with us. In Advent, we wait for the fulfillment of all of our deepest longings for wholeness and healing and a better world for all. Perhaps no other liturgical season plunges us right into the contrast between what is here and now and what we long for. Perhaps no other season shows us so fully that we live in this tension between failure and fulfillment, between sin and salvation, between trouble and hope. Recently, I received another letter from Kelly. Kelly is a young girl that our family has sponsored through Compassion International for about 9 years now, I think. And she lives in a very poor area of Brazil. And if you do this, you know about this, one of the wonderful things about this project and other projects like it is that you write letters back and forth over the years and you share things about your lives with each other. I know that Kelly has several siblings. I know that her mother has many health problems. And slowly but surely over the years, as she's grown up, she's shared more and more with me. Over the past year, she let me know that her father has a drinking problem. She asks me to pray for him. More recently, she told me that her father has been seeing another woman. In this most recent letter, this is what she says. I am well, but a little sad about my family's situation. My mom is sick, and she's had eye surgery, and she needs to have the other one operated on. Her treatment is very hard, and my dad doesn't help in anything. The project is helping her get the medications. Pray for her so God will keep her sight. My relationship with Kelly helps me focus on Advent hope. I will probably never meet her in person, and there's very little that I can do from here to help her with her family situation in Brazil, except to pray for God to work in her life and the life of her family. But when I think about Kelly, I long for the day that is surely coming, when no one has to live in abject poverty. I long for the day that is surely coming, when no young girl has to worry about her father drinking too much or hurting her mother, when no young lives are marred by addiction and violence. Advent asks us to live with our eyes open to the reality of the present moment and with our hearts full of hope for a better future. Kelly is living fully in this Advent tension. Jesus said, "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. In this is our hope. God is drawing nearer to us. O come, Emmanuel." Amen.